Thank you. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachate Shatarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Narayanam Namaskrityam
Narayanam Namaskrityam
Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat Nasta Praeshu Vabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, entitled Swayambhuva Manu Advises Dhruva Maharaj. Text number 26. Esha Bhutani Bhutatma
Esha Bhutani Bhutatma
Bhutesho Bhuta Bhavana
Bhutesho Bhuta Bhavana
Swashak Kya Maya Ya Yukta Sri Jatyati Chapati Cha Esha Bhutani Bhut Atma
Esha Bhutani Bhut Atma
Bhutesho Bhuta Bhavana
Bhutesho Bhuta Bhavana
Swasha Tya Maya Ya Yukta Sri Jatyati Chapati Cha Esha Bhutani Bhut Atma
Esha Bhutani Bhut Atma
Bhutesho Bhuta Bhavana
Bhutesho Bhuta Bhavana
Swasha Ya Maya Ya Yukta Sri Jatyati Chapati Cha
Esha Bhutani Bhutatma
Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Bhutesho Bhutabhavana
Swasha
Ya Maya Yukta
Vaishnavis. Esha.
This.
Bhutani.
Bhutani.
All created beings.
Bhuta Atma.
The super soul of all living entities. Bhuta
Esha.
The controller of everyone.
Bhuta
Bhavana. The maintainer of everyone. Swashaktya, through his energy. Mayaya, the external energy. Yukta, through such agency. Srijati, creates. Ati, annihilates. Cha, and. Pati, maintains. Cha, and. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supersoul of all living entities. He is the controller and maintainer of everyone. Through the agency of his external energy, he creates, maintains, and annihilates everyone. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are two kinds of energies in the matter of creation. The Lord creates this material world through His external material energy, whereas the spiritual world is a manifestation of His internal energy. He is always associated with the internal energy, but is always aloof from the material energy. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, the Lord says, Matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastita. All living entities are living on me, or on my energy, but I am not everywhere. He is personally always situated in the spiritual world. In the material world also, wherever the Supreme Lord is personally present is to be understood as being the spiritual world. For example, the Lord is worshipped in the temple by pure devotees. The temple is therefore to be understood as being the spiritual world. Omagyana timirandasya yananjana shalakaya chatsur unilitanyena tasmai shri gurave namah vanchakaupatarubhyascha kripa sindhu vayevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namah namah. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supersoul of all living entities. He is the controller and maintainer of everyone through the agency of his external energy. He creates, maintains, and annihilates everyone. So in this chapter, we are hearing Swayambhuva Manu try to pacify the mind of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was very much disturbed when his brother, stepbrother, Uttama, had gone hunting, and in the course of his hunting, was killed, apparently by some yaksha. And Dhruva Maharaj wanted to take revenge on the yakshas for this act. He was concerned that people may think bad of him if he didn't do anything to retaliate, because initially Dhruva Maharaj had gone to the forest because there was some intrigue between Uttama's mother, Suruchi, and Dhruva Maharaj. Suruchi had not been very kind to Dhruva Maharaj, telling him that you're not born from my womb, so you don't have a right to sit on your father's lap. So this greatly agitated Dhruva Maharaj. He's a Kshatriya, imbued with the mode of passion, and this led to his going to the forest and becoming enlightened and meeting the Lord. So on his return, his father, Maharaj Uttanapad, gave Dhruva Maharaj the throne. But naturally there would be some feelings there between Uttama and Dhruva. And Dhruva was concerned, maybe people will be thinking, I'm glad that my brother has been killed. How would we react if somebody is murdered in our family? Especially if it's someone you don't like, someone who you had some quarrel with, some differences with. So Dhruva Maharaj wanted to show that he was really upset that his brother had been killed, and he came out in an angry mood, and then took on the army of the Yakshas. The Yakshas are no ordinary beings. They're all descendants of Kuvera, who's the brother of Lord Shiva. Kuvera and Shiva live close to each other, and the Yakshas are their army. Describes 130,000 soldiers came to attack Dhruva. But Dhruva fought against them all. In the course of the, at a certain point, after killing so many of the Yakshas, Swayambhuva Manu came and wants to instruct Dhruva Maharaj that this behavior of yours is not really fitting. After all, you are a pure devotee. Our movement is also a movement of pure devotees, right? Srila Prabhupada was asked, one devotee was saying, besides you, Prabhupada, are there any other pure devotees on the planet? Prabhupada said, how many people do we have in our movement? Yeah, this was Prabhupada. They said, yeah, all of our devotees are pure devotees. Of course, there's different levels of pure devotees. But pure devotee means no sin, no sinful activities, nothing to do with meat eating, intoxication, gambling, or illicit sex. These things are strictly prohibited in the Krishna conscious society. So it's a movement for pure devotees. So Swayambhuva Manu points out to Dhruva Maharaj that you're a devotee, you're a good, not only are you just a devotee, but you're recognized as a devotee by so many other, everybody knows you, the whole planet knows about Dhruva Maharaj and his glory and how he had gone as a child to the forest. And by his austerity and by his devotion, he had met the Lord and taken the blessings from the Lord. So his fame was so great. Even today he's famous. So what to speak of in the Satya Yuga? Everybody knew what wonderful activities he performed. So Swayambhuva Manu was telling Dhruva Maharaj that you cannot behave like this. You're killing so many of the Yakshas. Your one brother died, so he was killed by one person. But you're killing thousands of these Yakshas. This is not right. It's not right behavior, because you are a devotee. you are recognized as a great devotee. All of us have to also understand our own responsibility as devotees, that we represent Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's movement is a representation of his own self. We have to behave in the proper manner, fitting devotees. So Dhruva Maharaj was instructed like this by Swayambhuva Manu on the behavior of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava on the intermediate level will offer worship to the Lord. He will give association to the devotees, take an associate with the devotees. He will give mercy to the innocent, and he will avoid the atheists and the blasphemers. He will generally be respectful to everyone. Prabhupada was on television in America, a famous movie clip, and the interviewer was asking him, how would we recognize a devotee? Prabhupada said, he would be a perfect gentleman. Very simple, clear answer. So Dhruva Maharaj is not behaving in the proper manner. Swayambhuva Manu wants to point out to him. But after Swayambhuva Manu had described the behavior of a Vaishnava, this was not enough to satisfy the mind of Dhruva. Therefore, Swayambhuva Manu goes in to what we have been hearing for the last week or more. Swayambhuva Manu is describing how the energy of the Lord in interacting with the three modes of material nature, the illusory energy of the Lord, when it interacts with the three modes of material nature, is the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. These three things are all coming about by the Lord. And this body is also a manifestation of five elements, which are the energy of the Lord. And then Swayambhuva Manu also goes on to explain about the effect of time. That ultimately it's time which is killing everybody. Your brother was not killed just by a yaksha, but he was killed under the influence of time. And time is the manifestation of the energy of the Lord. A few verses ago, it was described how the Lord is the killer, but he does not kill. He's the actor, but he's not acting. He's acting, but he's not the actor. He's the killer, but he's killing, but he's not the killer. Everything is going on under his direction. You know, we say Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he's the cause of all causes. Everything is his arrangement. Something goes wrong, we say, well, Krishna's mercy, right? The Lord is the controller. So Swayambhuva Manu is explaining the energy of the Lord, the inconceivable potency of the Lord, how he's responsible for everything which happens in this world. And at the same time, he's not responsible. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is given. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Simultaneously one and different. The Lord is killing, but he's not the killer. It's one with the Lord, yet different from him. So, here in the verse today, it is described how the Lord is the Paramatma, the Super Soul within everyone, is controlling, maintaining everyone through his external energy, responsible for the three phases of time. A Paramatma is the expansion of the Lord in the hearts of all living entities, directing the activities of everyone. Paramatma oversees everything. The overseer and the sanctioner, the Upadrishta Anumanta, that he sanctions and oversees everything going on in this material world. So in this way, Swayambhu Bhavamanu pointing out to Dhruva that ultimately the Lord who's responsible. Does it mean the Lord is the one who did everything? Dhruva Maharaj is known to be the devotee of the Lord. So should he now turn and blame the Lord? Why did you kill my brother? So this is the material energy. Under the material energy, we identify with the material body, the force of illusion, thinking ourselves to be this body. Ultimately, we could say, well, your brother's not killed. But this is, again, the influence of the material energy. We are thinking to be the body. No one is actually dying. We're simply changing the body, changing the dress. So, the material energy is the external energy of the Lord. It is His separated energy. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes His energies. Bhumerapo nalo vayu kammano gurire vacha ahankara itiyame bina prakritir ashtada. Bina prakritir ashtada. These eight elements are my separated elements. Separated from the Lord. The example was given, just like a man may be married to a woman, but they may be separated. The relationship is not so pleasing, so they separate. Prabhupada also gave the example, the milk of the cow, the separated energy of the cow. Or when he was sitting giving class, just as they are recording Prabhupada's lectures, Prabhupada speaking and it's being recorded, this is his separated energy. So this material world, this is a separated energy of the Lord. It's the Lord's energy, but it's separated from Him. It is described that the Lord, He doesn't care much to come to this world. He has His own creation. There are two creations. This world is the place of birth and death. This world is the external energy, like the prison house. Just like people, generally a government wants to be merciful and kind to their citizens and encourage them. But sometimes the government has to become violent with the citizens. Sometimes the government has to come with their army and the police force and they will, you know, arrest people who are acting against the interests of the government. In the same way, this material world is like that, for placing us rebellious souls into the material nature. One devotee asked Prabhupada, he was saying, he'd been talking to one man, and the man was claiming that your Krishna is very cruel. He's a very cruel God because He knows everything, past, present, and future. He knew that we would fall into the material world. But He created this. He gave us this independence that we could choose, between the material and the spiritual creation. So, this is not kind. This is a cruel God. So Prabhupada replied like this. He said, this is a stupid question. He said, you want to be like a stone? You want to be dead stone and have no choice? No free will? No independence. God does not want you simply to be dead stones. He has created us like this so that we can enjoy loving relationships with Him. But He gives us that free will also, that we can come into the material world and have our own independent life in this material existence. Of course, even in this world, the Lord also sometimes comes. We know that 5,000 years ago, the Lord personally came, manifested Himself, and spoke Bhagavad Gita for our benefit to establish the religious principles. Prabhupada is pointing out here in this purport that the temple is also the spiritual world because the Lord is in the temple. We do not simply worship some idol, but we worship deities. Deity worship is very different from idol worship. In Hindu temples generally, they perform idol worship. Their deity is simply some, their idol, their form of, it may be Krishna, but they worship like an idol because they do not think there's any life in their form of the Lord. But in Vaishnavism, the deity is invoked. Krishna is invoked in the form of the deity. Krishna appears in the deity form. This is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially took initiation in the line of Madhva, because in the Madhva Sampradaya they have great appreciation for the deity as a living person. They do not just simply think the deity, the Lord, the form of the Lord in the temple is some idol, but they understand very clearly that the Lord is a person. He is appearing in the deity form. So here we have our deities, of course. In Mayapur we're blessed with so many deities. The Lord is here. We can appreciate Mayapur is not of this world. But even if we're far away from Mayapur, some corner of the earth, so many parts of the world, the deity also is there. And that place is also the spiritual world. Sometimes people ask, why does Krishna only come in Vrindavan? Why does He only come in India? Of course, He doesn't just come in India, but He comes in especially Vrindavan and Mayapur. Why does He pick these places? Because Prabhupada says, just like a farmer may have a big area of land, so much land, but he has a special place, special plot of land where he will build his house and where he will live with his family. He will select the particular place which he chooses, which he likes. In the same way, everything is the Lord's creation. But He has special places which are very dear to Him. So the holy dharms are these places. They're not actually of this world. They're the spiritual world. That doesn't mean that they're eternal. We can't say, well, this temple, if it's a spiritual world, does it mean it will never fall down? Will it never be annihilated? Well, we hope not, but it's spiritual in the sense that the Lord is present, and it is simply meant for glorifying the Lord. Its purpose is only there for giving pleasure to the Lord. There's nothing selfish in the temple. There's nothing there for our selfish interests. It is all there in relation to our service to the Lord. So in this way we want to spiritualize everything. It is said the devotee knows how to make matter into spirit. We're not interested in just trying to find some comfortable situation in the material world, but they want to bring transcendence into the material energy. This is sometimes attractive to people when they hear that, oh, how do you do this? They think something mystical. But yes, it is mystical. And it requires devotion. That a devotee knows how to make matter into spirit simply by devotion to the Lord, by reciting the holy name of the Lord, by worshipping the Lord. Krishna is especially attracted to the devotion of a person. Nothing else can attract the Lord other than devotion. He also is very much attracted when someone is chanting his holy name, especially Narada. So we want to create this spiritual atmosphere through our own activities, through our own behavior. We can also feel the presence of the Lord. We can feel this Mayapur Dham is somewhere different. Somebody was saying recently, they were arguing, that I think if you stay here too long, I think you'll become over-familiar and you will think that this place is just like any other place. That possibility is always there. That as we do devotional service, just like chanting Hare Krishna, we may think, oh, this is just some mechanical repetition. The same mantra every day, come to Mangal Aarti, sing the same songs, do the same things. So people may think this is just some mechanical activities we're doing. Therefore, one has to repeatedly and regularly hear about the importance of devotional activities. If we do not hear about the importance of these activities, then we will forget. We will misunderstand what we're doing. We will minimize the importance. We may be chanting Hare Krishna mantra for so many years, but we still have no taste. Casually, we chant, inattention. Sometimes we fall asleep. Sometimes we miss words. So many different offenses may be committed in the course of our service. We have to be very careful. We have to be on guard. That is why we have to have regular sangha, association with devotees. Association where we are hearing, where the faults are being pointed out to us. We need to develop the qualities to go back to Godhead. If we want to go back to Godhead, there are requirements. Just like you want to enter into some university, they will check your qualifications to see if you're qualified. You want to immigrate to some foreign country, they will check to see, you know, how much money are you bringing, how many dependents do you have, like this. So in the same way, there are qualifications to go back to Godhead. In third canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Kardama Muni was pointing out to his wife Devahuti qualifications for getting liberation. After her husband was going to take sannyas, she was asking for fearlessness, that if you're going to leave me, at least you have to give me fearlessness. So he explained to her that you have to do sacrifice, austerities and penance. These things are very important for us, to purify all of us. If we do not do sacrifices, austerities and penances, and give charities, then we will not develop the qualifications to go back to Godhead. Today is the Ekadasi day. It's a day in which we're doing some sacrifices, minimizing the demands of the body. And now, special facilities are arranged here in Mayapur, 24-hour kirtan. Very great opportunity. We hope all of you will take advantage that we can be there to enjoy the holy name, to chant with the devotees. So chanting, taking part in the kirtan, this is the sacrifice for the Kali Yuga. We want to develop the taste for these activities to understand Krishna. As we're hearing, Krishna is, usually we say, Krishna never goes out of Vrindavan, right? He's only in Vrindavan, he never leaves Vrindavan. But at the same time, we're hearing, well, Krishna's in the temple. So this temple is also Vrindavan. Of course, we can understand that very easily, because we know Mayapur Dham is not different from Vrindavan. What pastimes took place, what holy places are there in Vrindavan, those holy places are all here in Mayapur Dham. We don't see any difference between these two dhams. However, every temple is a manifestation of Vrindavan. Where there is Krishna, where there is Gornitai, these are not ordinary places. They become holy places. A holy place is made holy by the presence of the devotees. It is the devotees who make the place holy. Tirtha, Vidura is glorified by Maharaj Yudhisthira after Vidura had gone to, for many years, to visit the holy places. Then he finally returned. And he was glorified that you are yourself a holy place personified because you carry the Lord in your heart. So this is given here also in this verse, the Lord as a super soul in the heart of everyone. Dhruva Maharaj was criticized by Swayambhuva Manu that you worship the Lord, but you're killing all these yakshas. The Lord is also in the heart of these yakshas, and you're killing them. That same Lord who you worshipped when you went to the forest, he is also situated in the hearts of every living entity. So how can you kill other living entities? We should have that same consciousness ourselves. Sometimes we go mercilessly killing insects, killing so many mosquitoes. Prabhupada said, when one devotee was killing all the mosquitoes, he said, what are you doing? Why are you turning this place into a slaughterhouse? In the fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described there's a special hell for people who kill innocent insects and creatures. So, as devotees, we want to also develop these qualities like Dhruva Maharaj, seeing the Lord everywhere, in everything, especially in the temples. Of course, we know that Kanista, to think the Lord is only in the temple. The lowest devotee, well, Kanista, junior devotee, he's a devotee. But he's Kanista, because he thinks God is in the temple. He's not anywhere else. We give respect to the deity, but no respect for others. That is not the way. We must become Madhyam devotees. We have to see the Lord in everyone. And then we will reciprocate with everyone. When we see the Lord in every living entity, then this is pleasing, this is very pleasing to the Supreme Lord. We have to develop this consciousness. How we can do it? The process is here. Simply by devotional service. Swayambhu Vamanu is describing to Dhruva Maharaj that you have to surrender to that Supreme Lord. He is the one who's controlling. He arranged for your brother to be killed. He is the one. You have to surrender to him. We also have to surrender to him. We are here in Mayapur Dham for this purpose. It's the surrendering process. Coming to the holy places. In Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one does not go to the holy places for sense gratification. So, just coming to the holy place itself is purifying. But we also want to take full advantage of the holy places by engaging in the activities in the right mood, with the right consciousness. In this way, then we can more appreciate the holy Dham. We can appreciate the Lord in everything. If we cannot feel the presence of the Lord here in Mayapur, with the wonderful worship, the elaborate worship, and all the devotees and wonderful kirtans, then it will be very difficult for us when we go back to our preaching fields. And you have a few devotees, and a little temple, and a few pictures on the altar, or maybe a little brass or guitar, you know. And we can hardly sing, we can't play any instruments. Then it's really difficult to appreciate the Lord. But here, in Mayapur Dham, it's very easy. So we all should take full advantage of this holy place to engage in our devotional activities and to surrender to the Lord. Okay, thank you. Any questions? Yes? Wait, he'll give you the mic.
I have a question. It has two aspects. As you are speaking about hearing mantras, so some say the reading is as good as hearing. Some say the reading Prabhupada books is as good as hearing. So if you don't hear, only just reading a Prabhupada book, that's good enough. And another question, so how you should understand it? And another question is,
okay, one question first. Right. So, Prabhupada says better than reading is explaining and discussing with devotees. Because you know yourself, you sit and read and you don't read very carefully. And if we ask, what did you read just now? And we say, oh, I don't remember. You have to look, you can't see, you don't remember what you were reading. So reading is good, but it's not as good as discussing and explaining to the devotees. That's more important for us. What's the other question?
The question is Maharaj, what kind of hearing is most important? What is the general hearing, like we are hearing here, the speaker is speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the devotees are on different levels
of hearing. And one is the exclusive hearing from a person who knows our spiritual weakness, and he speaks Krishna and philosophy in such a way which directly leads to our weakness. So which is most important? Both are good. Yeah, you need to hear. If somebody knows you personally and is directing some instructions for your personal benefit, it's very good, but not all the time. You don't want all the time that he's always only just speaking to you, about your problems and your defects. You know, you need to hear other things also. You have to become attracted to the overall philosophy. Yeah, we have faults, we have prop things, so somebody knows about your defects and they're helping you with them. But if you just hear that all the time, that's not enough. You want to hear about Krishna, and you have to hear about great devotees. We have to hear about the Mahajans. So, different types of hearing required.
Hearing is most important. Of course, reading is good, but hearing is most important. The question comes to us, we have seen many people are becoming devoted by reading Prabhupada's books, but by hearing lectures, there is no means. By hearing lectures, many devotees are becoming by hearing lectures, but the many most devotees are becoming devotees after reading Prabhupada's books.
Well, they have to read the books first, then they come, they want to hear the lectures, right? They read the books, they get attracted, they become interested, they come and hear the lectures. We're all here because we read the books. So they're related, you can't separate them. Some people, they didn't read a book, but they come and they hear the lecture, and they become interested to read the books. And then we hope they will keep hearing lectures, of course. The more they read, the more they want to hear and discuss. Prabhu?
Thank you so much. So Prabhupada said that all the devotees in ISKCON are pure devotees. But even in his time, Prabhupada knew that many devotees are not, or Islam devotees are not following four regulatory principles. So in what sense Prabhupada said that all the devotees of ISKCON is pure devotees?
Yeah, in the sense that they're all following four principles. That is the standard. They're not following four principles and they're not following the basic instruction.
But Prabhupada knew that some of his disciples are not following. So how he told that all the devotees of his calling?
So he's encouraging them that they should follow. Right? They should become pure devotees. They should give up their sinful habits. Yeah, he's encouraging them to come to the higher plane.
Just speak about, if I take my hair, meant for killing 3% of living entities. If I take my hair, it's meant for killing 3% of living entities. So where would you depart from particular
Yeah, you have to be very conscious. You should be very, very careful of that. You should ask them not to come in your bathroom. Right? Please ask them to put a notice up telling them. Get. Otherwise, you could, simply go out in the fields instead of using the bathrooms, go out in the fields. Yes, Prabhu, at the back. Losing his brother, we have other examples, people losing someone near and dear to them. For example, Abhimanyu was killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, and it was a shattering blow for Arjuna. He was really brokenhearted and he shed tears. He really felt the pain, the loss of his son. And he just heard the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna just a few days earlier. Krishna had spoken Bhagavad Gita to him. But still, when it happens, when these blows come, then it's very difficult not to be affected. But Arjuna did not give up his duty. He continued his duty. Here we see, in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he was also affected, the loss of his brother. But the grandfather is coming, Swayambhuva Manu, grandfather is coming, and he's giving instruction. And the instruction is going to convince Dhruva Maharaj. It's going to pacify his mind. He's able to understand. So you're asking, how should we deal with...
Actually, it's not because of duty. I mean, it's correct feeling. It's not a question if our feeling is not correct, but if we should externalize...
Externalize?
Yeah, externalize.
Feelings?
Feelings show... like follow this example.
Well, externalizing, yeah, feelings, if some feeling is there, it's going to come out. If you have that feeling in the subtle body, in the mind, some feeling is there, then it may manifest itself in the physical body.
Is it important to show outside of us, for others, is it important?
To show?
Yes.
Lamentation. To show joy. What feeling? Yeah, we shouldn't be cabbages. We don't want to be dead stones, right? We show our feelings. We show our joy, our happiness when we dance and chant. We don't suppress emotions, you know, that's like in Buddhism, you know, they shouldn't be emotional, they should not have any feelings, any displays, of, they would consider sentimentality. The Mayavadis also condemn Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his chanting and dancing, sentimental. No, you should be sober. You should be very, mind should be very steady, equipoised. You should never be joyful. This is not good in the Buddhism. You will never see the Buddhists smile, laughing or anything. It's not allowed. But in Krishna consciousness, if you're not joyful, then you're not in Krishna consciousness. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, right? Prabhupada saw one devotee look with a big long face, and Prabhupada told him, if you are morose, you are not in Krishna consciousness. So yeah, we exhibit our emotions. And you should always be joyful. Distributing Krishna consciousness, tasting the nectar of Krishna. Maharaj?
What's wrong with showing emotions is when those emotions take away from our devotional service. A devotee, Arjuna, was acting emotion, but it didn't affect his service in the case of his son being killed. Krishna chastised him at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita when that emotion was actually causing him not to do his duty. So that's the problem. To have emotional feelings, that those feelings should cause him to go down, Krishna's servant, and inspires us to increase our service. That is in line with devotional service. Devotion, as we said, devotees have emotions. We express them. They should take away from our devotional service. That's why we face away from our service.
Right.
It causes us to go down in our
Thank you, Maharaj. Very nice. I have one question here from a devotee from England. He's asking, Dhruva Maharaj knew that Saruchi was going to die by being burnt in the forest when looking for her son. So why did Dhruva Maharaj act like that? That's bewildering in the way of akarma, karma, and vikarma. So, yeah, Dhruva Maharaj knew that Uttama was going to die and also that Saruchi would also die. It was already predicted by the Lord. When the Lord had met Dhruva Maharaj, he told him this and the prediction came true. But still, when it happens, Dhruva Maharaj was affected. Even though we know we're all going to die, you know? We know every one of us is going to die. When somebody dear to us dies, then still we will be affected. Death is there for everyone. But so Dhruva Maharaj was told they're going to die. Well, we know everybody's going to die. But you always think, well, later it will happen. We're always thinking. Not for a while. We're not ready yet. Long time yet. But we don't know. At any moment we can die. So when it happened, Dhruva was disturbed and he took action. He wanted to do something. He wanted to actually, his ambition was to completely annihilate the Yakshas, to kill every one of them. So this is why Swayambhuva Manu had to go and give instruction to him. Okay, there's one more question here. Somebody is asking about Ekadasi. They're saying different devotees do different fasts. So some do not even brush their teeth and do not use soap while they are taking bath. Who are these devotees? They don't have any soap. We should arrange some soap for them. Okay. Yeah. So different standards are there for different people. Everyone has their taste. You know, if you have more taste, then you may want to do more. Prabhupada said, actually he told Prajumna. Prajumna was Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor. And I remember Prajumna telling me, personally told me, he said, Prabhupada told me, fasting is necessary for spiritual life. He said, it's required. Prabhupada himself would fast sometimes. Of course, as he got older and traveling, it was more difficult for him. But when some devotees were fasting, Prabhupada encouraged, yeah, very good. So if you can do it, and if your service is not disturbed, then very good. That's the point. Your service should not be disturbed. If you can fast without affecting your service, continuing your service, then it's very nice. Fasting depends on people's health. Some people don't have that health, but they can fast. They have to have something, they have to eat. So it's not a problem. We don't make any distinction. Some devotees, especially in the holy place, Mayapur, like that, Vrindavan, they think it's a very good place to fast. At least when you're here in this holy place, take advantage. When Jagpataka Maharaj had his sickness, many of his disciples were fasting for him to recover. And on Ekadasi, he would observe Ekadasi fasting for his benefit. So like that, you know, not, you can do it, maybe not for our own benefit, we can do it to benefit others. Very nice. But the main thing is service. You don't want to minimize your service. If you're so weak, you can't do anything, then it's not. You don't bother. Better to eat and do some service. But eat Ekadasi Prasana. Okay, any other question? All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.